Academic Affairs, Regent Dennison.
I'm going to let Gordon briefly discuss action items 1.1, 1.2, 1.3. These are all programs that we discussed at committee meeting.
Thank you, Regent Dennison. Yes, we have three proposed new academic programs. One is a baccalaureate program in health information management. As everyone's aware, the health field is one of the most rapidly growing and also rapidly evolving fields today. This degree program will equip students with the skills they need not only in healthcare but also things like computer information management to be successful in this area. Our second request is for approval of a graduate certificate in facility and event management. This will be an entirely online graduate certificate offered through our Division of Extended Learning and Outreach, or DELO. It's a 12-hour certificate which will prepare students for careers in exactly that, facility event management. And our third request is for approval of an undergraduate minor in leadership studies, consistent with our vision statement to be a leading American university with international reach. We believe this is a highly appropriate credential to offer our students. It will be available to students in all majors and consists of 21 hours of coursework as listed in your program. Associate Dean Danita Kelly from the College of Health and Human Services and Professor Cecile Garman from the Leadership Studies program are available to answer any questions you may have.
We discussed these at the committee meeting. Does anyone have any other questions about those programs? If not, could you go ahead and discuss 1.4 also?
1.4 is a request to administratively relocate the middle school science education program. That's part of our very successful SkyTeach program. I'd like to point out, to follow on from Audra's thing, that we just received word that many of our SkyTeach students were scoring perfect or near-perfect scores in the praxis examination, the teacher preparation examination, also in the fundamentals of learning and teaching, the principles of learning and teaching exams, a highly successful program with, I believe, 7 faculty devoted to it. Eventually, we expect this to be a program administered jointly through Ogden College of Science and Engineering and the College of Education and Behavioral Sciences. Now, at this point, the middle school science education program resides in the Department of Physics and Astronomy, and we're proposing moving it administratively to the Ogden College Dean's Office as a temporary step. Ultimately, we expect this program to be administered at the academic affairs level in cooperation with the College of Education and Behavioral Sciences as well.
Are there any questions concerning that move? Then we have 1.5, which is the approval of the emeritus faculty appointments.
We have three faculty proposed for emeritus status. The credentials have been reviewed by the appropriate committees. Their names appear on page 16 of your program. Dr. David Hartman and Dr. Lowell Shank of Chemistry, and Ms. Elizabeth Volkman from the Department of Music in Potter College.
Any questions or comments? Dr. Shank was one of my professors, so it was very good. Then we'll go to 1.6.
1.6 is a request to approve a new faculty track, pedagogical faculty. WKU already has what we're now terming traditional faculty tracks, which blend teaching, research, and scholarship. About 2 years ago, I believe, the clinical faculty tracks were introduced in the College of Health and Human Services, and last year this board approved addition of a research faculty track for individuals whose primary emphasis is in research. Research tracks are not tenure eligible. They're typically 12-month appointments to enable groups to hire additional capability and build critical mass in areas of research. The pedagogical track, in some sense, represents the other end of the spectrum where the teaching is emphasized, teaching and scholarship in the classroom. These tracks will be new. A unit that requests a pedagogical track, the faculty in the department will have to vote to create such an opportunity, which will then be filled through the usual staffing plan process. When appointed, these individuals, they will not have any expectation of scholarly research outside of the classroom for consideration of things like promotion and tenure, but they will be expected to profess. They are professors, and a professor should profess. Their professorial skills will be brought into the classroom for the benefit of their students. We see this as a significant move forward to reward faculty for what we believe are important facets of the spectrum of faculty endeavor.
This matter has received considerable attention across our campus with the faculty through the proper faculty procedures in our University Senate, and is, in my opinion, a remarkable step forward and not a particularly common step forward on most colleges and university campuses as we've addressed the matter of pedagogical faculty and research faculty tracks. And it's, I think, a progressive step and an important step, and it allows faculty to focus on that which they choose to do best and the areas in which they excel and will be evaluated accordingly.
We talked about this in committees, but this is just for the record. The pedagogical tracks will have to come from the bottom up. In other words, only if a department wants these and requests these would they be hiring. That there would not be a top-down decision that you must hire a pedagogical position.
No, as I indicated, any pedagogical track must be, it's a new slot.
Right.
The tenure-eligible faculty in that department must vote to create such a slot, and then it'll be hired, filled through the normal staffing plan process. Existing faculty cannot, for example, switch to this track.
Right.
It is possible that if a pedagogical faculty position is open, that an existing faculty member could apply for it, but they are essentially, ab initio positions.
Right. Yeah, so it has to start de novo. Has to start at the
correct.
Okay. And again, the one issue that came up in the University Senate, which I think was a great point to debate and I think was adequately addressed then, but just to make sure it's on the record. So if a department wants a tenure line slot, they will not a tenure line for a traditional tenure track position. They would not be told that the only way you're going to be able to hire is if you have a pedagogical track, right? Again, it's completely faculty-driven department and college-level decision.
Again, it goes, any proposed faculty position goes through the staffing plan process, and we would propose in the manner in which the faculty in that unit proposed it.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Is there any kind of equilibrium between these various tracks? Like, can you have so many clinical and so many research and so many pedagogical?
That's an excellent question, Rizzoki. We actually have what I call an alarm bell. In each of these research and pedagogical tracks, it was 5% of professorial ranks, which would constitute approximately 30. So if the number of these tracks reaches 30, the policy requires that we review the situation and decided how to proceed at that point. And that applies to both the research tracks and the pedagogical track.
Thank you.
And that was written in through the Senate debate process, which was a great part of the process.
That likely takes some time before that level would be reached. We don't expect it to be that aggressive.
The motion in order?
Are there any items under Academic Affairs Committee that a board member wishes to remove for discussion? If not, then I will take...
Move approval of action items 1.1 through 1.6.
Second.
All in favor?
Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Then that moves us to our information item, enrollment report from Dr. Brian Meredith.
Dr. Meredith, we'll share some good news with you.
Julia's distributing, I think, the enrollment reports to you, or you may have those.
Do we have it?
It's coming around now.
Okay.
Coming around now. The spring is progressing forward very rapid, pretty rapid pace. Looking at summer 2012, where we were about a month ago, we were down quite a bit in the summer, but over the last month, that's picked up in a very positive way. Enrollment management, along with Dr. Beth Wallace's staff and Billings, has put together sort of some creative incentive scholarship in there to assist these students that would like to take summer school courses. And again, that's based on, you may remember from previous meetings, the year-round Pell and those sorts of things just don't exist anymore. So you should have summer in front of you. That number is tremendously gotten better. It should peak about the first week of June. So you'll continue to get good news on that as we get closer into the summer. And then I believe Julie did the fall report go around as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is that coming?
I think we have summer going around twice. Do you have the fall semester?
Yeah, I have fall.
The fall went this way.
Gotcha.
Okay. Well, the good news on the fall is it's still very early in the fall. We are up in regards to the fall right now as far as registrations. Yesterday was the last day for priority registration for fall, but however, students can continue registering all the way up until the fall. And the registrar reports that we are up last year over this time, this week last year, in regards to those as well. Yeah, we're up 62 currently this week for fall semester, which is a good thing. Office of Admissions informs me, too, as far as applicants and accepts for the fall semester. We're looking at a positive number there, about 248 more students than we had this time last year, this week last year, for admitted students for fall semester.
An observation as you look over these numbers, the summer school I think will probably be about even or slightly ahead by the time we begin summer classes in just a few weeks. The caution flag in both reports is freshmen, and I believe that is as much economically driven as anything, and I do not think it's a function of pricing. University presidents have discussed this a lot over the course of the last 6 or 8 months. These numbers are trending across all of our campuses, and again, I do not think it's a matter of pricing. I think it's a matter that there is a cost period, and that not as many families are able to spend cents and dollars to college, any college at any price, in this economic environment. That's anecdotal. Don't know that for sure, but that's my sense. The really, really encouraging news on the fall semester report especially are the numbers of sophomore, juniors, and seniors. We're doing some retention things right. Our efforts to facilitate the persistence looks to me like these numbers validate that a lot of the things we're putting into place are working, and that's a very encouraging sign. I'm encouraged by actually both of these reports. Again, with the caution sign of new freshmen being one that we just need to keep our eye on and do the best we can with.
And anecdotally, when we talk to families, and I've talked to a good many in recent months, I mean, they really still feel that Western Kentucky University is a pretty good deal on its tuition. It's just the general financing and overall. They're not saying that it's out of step with any pricing. They're following suit on that. So yeah. At least that's what I'm hearing.
I would agree.
Mm-hmm. Two questions. First, I know the answer to this one, but just for the rest of the board, can you tell the rest of the board a little bit about what the scholarship opportunity is for summer school to backfill that money that's gone away from Pell? And the second question is, what is readmit? This third column. Who are these students?
The easier way to answer, the readmit, the students, they may sit out more than a full term and need to come back in, and we need to... They have to go back through a readmission process because things change, information changes. They may go to another school class. And so it's really just a classification. They're not dropping out. They may stop out for a semester for various reasons.
So it's sort of really a rematriculate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Dropout was a new term that I just learned when I gave a report at CPE last week. I got the information that I was going to report on, and okay, tell me what a stopout is. Stopout, as I've learned, is a student that has dropped out, but we try to, they're a stopout until the end of that term, a semester or academic year.
Yep.
And we try to get them re-enrolled before the end of that term so that they stay with the cohort with which they entered. And so that's that was a new term for me, a stop out. Apparently we're identifying them early and trying to get them back enrolled so they can stay on their course for graduation that they started.
In response to your first question, this opportunity to take summer courses we believe is very valuable for students as they seek to earn a degree in a reasonable period of time. And recognizing financial stresses and so forth, we did institute a program this summer of summer scholarships for any student who has a 3.0 GPA or higher. If they take an additional summer course, we give them an automatic scholarship to offset some of the cost of that course. So a student who would be here taking one course anyway is now can now take two at a somewhat reduced rate. Associate Vice President Beth Lavis is here. You can answer any more questions than that, but it's been extraordinarily well publicized on campus. You've probably seen some of the signs.
It's everywhere.
Summer scholarships, it's like getting the 6 hour free, which it is, and we hope students will take advantage of this. We're not making a lot of money on this, but we are offering students the opportunity to complete degree requirements, get a head start on next fall, maybe not have to load up in as many courses in the fall to complete degree requirements on time.
Thanks.
I'm just following one thing with our student scholars this morning that were recognized, and I don't have numbers for that because they're still working through this process, even as we end up into April and going into May, trying to yield these students. But student financial assistance in the Office of Scholarship tells me, as of this week, they've awarded more scholarships in quantity and dollar amount than they ever have. The number over 20 years the staff person that's been in there giving me that data. So those are it's a good problem to have.
it's a good problem to have, and when you see the budget that we'll present to you in June, well, you'll see later today when I talk about our fixed cost increases, there's over $2 million is additional recurring funds devoted to scholarships. Because we have categories, if you meet a certain standard, you get a scholarship, and the number of students meeting those high standards is unprecedented for us, and it produces things like you just saw earlier. So that is a good problem to have, but it's also an expensive problem.
It's up and down the categories: presidential, AOE, regents. Yeah. They're all up. So anyway,
good news.
Thank you.
And you just got back from where, Brian?
Got back from China. Dr. Pan and I and Rosa Tawana, our international missions officer, and ESLI director, we did a team visit there to work through a memorandum of understanding with Hebei University, and a very productive week, very busy week, but very productive for WKU. And those students will do part of their time there in Hebei, and then in 2013, mainly in 2014, they will come in to us here at Bowling Green and be our students. And very, very productive week.
A 2+2 program.
Mm-hmm. Where they'll do 2 years there and then 2 years from us. And they will have, at the end of that, a degree from Western Kentucky University as well as Hebei, a dual sort of degree arrangement. And thanks to Dr. Katz and Dr. Muhammad and the Gordon Porter College of Business, they were very helpful in the academic piece. It's in the management area is what they're looking for. And I think Hebei would maybe like to consider other things down the road. But good start.
They are one of the stronger schools in China in journalism.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that may be one that we'll partner on in the future. And you also opened and are about to open an admissions office in Hebei province in China.
We will have a representative there in Hebei province in China that will work directly with Hebei and WKU and kind of troubleshooting, recruiting, kind of hand-holding these students through this process.
Will there be students coming to begin their freshman year from China as well as the 2+2 program?
Actually, there will be admissions. They kind of updated me this week. We have either five or six applicants since we've been there that just would like to transfer to us, not necessarily part of the 2+2, but would like to transfer to WKU. So just on the PR that's coming off of that, or the marketing of it. So.
This is in Baoding, China, about 2 hours from Beijing. This university is a very impressive institution with which to partner in China, and a very impressive campus.
Mm-hmm. Pretty neat opportunity for us, and I believe it'll open other opportunities for us, or I'm pretty confident it will. So, good team visit. Thank you all.
I've got one academic affairs note to acknowledge to the board. You may have read about it, but the Gatton Academy was named a finalist in the Intel Schools of Distinction program. Intel Corporation's 2012 Schools of Distinction Awards in the high school category for excellence in science. This is the first Kentucky school to ever be named in this program since it began in 2006. The other two finalists were Boston Latin School in Boston, Massachusetts, and Ossining High School in Ossining, New York. This is a really strong our officials from the Gatton Academy will go to Washington to pick up this award from Intel in September. Just a tremendous recognition for our Gatton Academy for Math and Science and how they continue to be recognized nationally at the very top of high schools in America. And again, further return on that investment from the Commonwealth of Kentucky in the creation of the Gatton Academy. And Bill Gatton's personal gift to the Gatton Academy as well.
Please. Next, move into the executive committee. We have one action item, 2.2, the approval of the naming of designated rooms areas. This came out of committee with approval. Being it's the only item on the agenda, we'll entertain a motion for approval.
They're approved.
Second.
Motion made by Regent Zilke, seconded by Ms. Minner. Any other discussion or question? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. So approved. Next move to...
Before you leave the executive committee, I think it bears mentioning, with both of the coaches' contracts that were on the executive committee agenda, frankly, both of those coaches are fully engaged in recruiting right now. And Todd Stewart and I did not want to pull them off the road to sit down and go through these contracts and get signatures and so forth. And it's an important process for them. But to their credit, both of them, still relatively new in their positions, are completely immersed right now in completing their recruiting classes literally over the last week or two or three and will for the next few days. So these will be back on the agenda in July. I just wanted you to understand why those are deferred to our July meeting. It has nothing to do with the contracts or the individuals. It has everything to do with where we want them focusing their attention right now.
Any question or comment about that update from President Ramsdale and the coaches? If not, we'll move to the information item. The first one is a report from Warren Irons of the Internal Audit Staff. I think each of the regents received the internal audit report by separate mailing.
Okay. I believe, as you just stated, you have the report I sent. It's dated April the 11th. Again, this is a relatively new thing, and honestly, I still probably need to tweak this somewhat. But anyhow, other than the cover letter, there's four schedules to it. One is first schedule is talking any prior period issues that have been unresolved. And as you can see, there aren't any. Every issue from a previous report that I sent has been resolved, present resolved them. The next page is current period completed reviews, numerous things listed there. Some of those issues remain unresolved as they're stated so in here, and some issues they have actually there was no resolution necessary actually, or they've been resolved. The next page is a current period in progress. These are things that we had obviously been working on but have not completed as of the end of this report date. So That just lets you know what we're working on currently. And then the final schedule is future period, and I wanted to make an observation about that. There's, I think, 10 or 11 things listed there, and as requested, I've rated these things as far as risk, and I just want to highlight something is that if you look down the list, you'll see they're all moderate or low, and honestly, several that are moderate, they're actually probably high. But for presentation purposes, I just don't want to put that out there right now. So some of the issues that are moderate slash high, so just for your information. Now, whenever I actually do the work and do the review, then they'll reflect that at that time. But I guess as far as obviously any questions you might have, I'd be glad to entertain them.
Any questions?
Well, I noticed that the football contract between WKU and University of Kentucky is rated moderate or maybe high. What's wrong with the contract?
Okay. Well, first of all, that is actually a completed review, and the reason why in risk, I think I mentioned this last time, rating risk is a highly subjective thing. And so what I have to go by is my experiences, and in my experience, contracts often have, well, there's obviously multiple parts to contracts, and often terms are either not enforced or not followed, whether, you know, it's something people miss or whatever. So the actual, this is just rated moderate because it was a contract, to be honest with you. But as far, if you looked at the actual results, you'll see that I think everything was okay.
You either play and you get your money, or you don't play and don't get your money, so.
Spoken like a true coach.
Yes.
Any other comments? Thank you, sir.
All right.
Next item is some business, yearly business and appointment of the nomination commission or committee. I have spoken to these individuals, and in accordance with the bylaws, I would hereby like to recommend to the board the following individuals to serve as our nominating committee for the purpose of selecting the officers, chair, vice chair, and secretary for our 2012-2013 term. Jim Meyer, chair, Melissa Dennison, and Larry Zilke as the committee members. The nominating committee will report its full recommendation at our special budget meeting on June 22nd, at which time the board will undertake the action of election of officers. All officers now serving will continue to serve until July 27, 2012. Any questions, objection, or comments? And finally, I'd like to report as an information item on the President's annual evaluation. It has been completed. I apologize for detaining everyone this morning. We were just a few minutes, hopefully, over schedule, but the schedules, we tried to accommodate President Ransdale and myself on our schedules to meet. I had shared previously with the President and also with each of you a compilation of the evaluation. President Ransdale and I probably had an unusual meeting this morning, but very productive, and I shared with him that in my scientific thorough review of the evaluations, his performance this year was out better than last year. He continues to improve, and that he's doing a remarkable job. We did discuss the comments and went through, had some discussions about some individual comments, which again each of you have seen from a compilation of the report. This year was the first year for a self-assessment, and I shared with him a couple of comments that I received from some individual regents that he was too hard on himself, that we actually scored him better than he scored himself. But also I shared with him that several of you had expressed an appreciation of that self-assessment. And so I apologize to him for burdening him with that task, but felt like that it was worthwhile. So a very, very productive opportunity, and I think I have comfort in recommending to the board that we have thoroughly evaluated our president on an annual basis and carried on the tradition. If anyone has any comments or questions, we'll entertain those. And I assume that you may want to say a word in your own defense.
I would open the floor for any board members.
Chairman, I want to thank you for sending, I think Jim and I talked about it, the compilation as it was proceeding. That was very helpful. I can't recall it ever happening before. And so the chair is to be congratulated for doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Agreed.
We had we got our responses in. I think it's a justifiable, scientifically valid survey, but it does take time, and I appreciate everybody's effort.
I appreciate the continuing confidence and the feedback and the constructiveness of it, and it's an important measure and an important tool in continuing to drive hard and improve. So I appreciate your confidence more than you know. Thank you very much.
I think, as all of you know, throughout the year, if you have any suggestions, criticism, comments, they're always welcome. With that being said, I think that wraps up executive, and we now turn to Mr. Porter and finance.